Open your King James Bible, please, to 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 12 today for study number 120. This 15-minute audio Bible study commentary is titled 1 Timothy Study 120-Paul's Nine Eyes. Now we'll take our text today out of 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, which reads, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Now let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the privilege of prayer, being able to look at the Word of God one more time. Thank you for a brand new day that you've given us, and I pray we'll make the best of it, that we'll glorify you and exalt the Word of God. Help our hearers today to hear the truth. And I pray, God, guide the truth through my heart and mind and then down into my tongue that I might speak as I wish I had when I stand at the judgment. Open our understanding to receive the Word of God today. We realize, God, that we need you. You could do without us, but we can't do without you. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, this will be study number 120. And it will be the first study on verse 12 of the first chapter of 1 Timothy. We will title this study today, Paul's Nine Eyes. Now, these are not the eyes he's seeing with, but his eyes he's speaking with. These are not eyes of accomplishments and bragging either. In this study, we're going to look at the word eye, or the letter I, whichever way you want to say it, found in this first chapter. There are only 20 verses in this first chapter, and we've preached on and taught over half now in this chapter in 119 lessons. These have been a help and an encouragement to me, and I hope an encouragement to you as well. I pray that God will bless you. Let me give you some information on this verse that will help us glean all we can from its subject matter. The first two verses of chapter 1 are the first full sentence of this first chapter. Verses 3 and 4 are the second sentence. We've mentioned this in some other lessons. Verses 5, 6, and 7 are the third sentence. Verses 8, 9, 10, and 11 are the fourth sentence, which we have just finished. Now we'll now begin with the fifth sentence, which will include verses 12 and 13. We know this by the punctuation ending with a period. To break down this verse 12 a little more, we'll look at the statements found in this verse. There are four of them. Statement number one, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord." Statement number two, "Who hath enabled me." Statement number three, "For that he counted me faithful." Statement number four, "It's putting me into the ministry." Now, all of these things are separated by commas. These four statements are separated by commas, letting us know that these statements are connected. This verse ends with a semicolon, which lets us know that there's more to come after this verse. Verse 13 will be a continuation of this verse 12. If we study the scriptures putting the emphasis on the verses by their punctuation, the verse will be easier to comprehend and understand, especially by the aid and help of the Holy Ghost, and without him, we'll not understand it anyhow. This verse is going to be like the last 11 verses. That is very interesting. The first word of verse 12 is the word "and." The word "and" is a connecting conjunction, which just connects the subjects and thoughts together. It means that this is a continuation of the past verses. The word "and" is mentioned 13 times in the first chapter. 11 times this word "and" is connecting other words or phrases, and 2 times in this word "and" is connecting subjects, as is seen in verse 12 and in verse 14. Now this may seem not important to you, but this method of studying has helped me to understand the scriptures. I've had a hard time understanding some of them, but when I put the punctuation to it, it has brought it to light. Now that we have our English lesson out of the way, we will look at this verse in more detail. We will save the word and for a future study. In this study, we will look at the word I in this verse. The letter I, or the word I, is mentioned 9 times in this first chapter of 1 Timothy, and we're going to look at them 9 times. We will call these Paul's 9 I's. The first I is the I besought. The second I is I went. Both of these are found in verse number 3 and are in reference to Paul and his dealings with Timothy concerning the church. The third I is I thank, found in our verse 12, and deals with Paul giving thanks to the Lord. We want to deal with this phrase for a bit. First, we find who Paul is giving thanks to. It is Christ Jesus, our Lord. He's given thanks to Christ, which is the Anointed One. He's also given thanks to Jesus, which is the Savior. And he's given thanks to the Lord, which was his Master. And these are all in one the same. We dealt with these titles given to the Lord in verses 1 and 2, and we'll not look at them now. You can go back to our previous lessons to pick up information on these names and titles. Paul said, I thank, which is present tense. Here he is in a constant, continual, thankful mode. Paul uses the phrase, I thank, 9 times in his 14 epistles. And in all of them, he's given thanks to God and the Son in every single reference. Check the references out in your study times. We all should be in a constant thankful mode in our lives. Our hearts should be in a continual thanksgiving to the Lord. If there's anything missing in the life of the average Christian, it is the giving of thanks unto the Lord. We also find not only who Paul gives thanks to in this verse, but we find what he's given thanks for. In this verse, he gives us 3 things in particular he is given thanks for. First, Paul is given thanks to God for enabling him, or making him able to do the work of God. Now, none of us could do anything for God without him enabling us or giving us the ability to do the work. Thank God that he enables us. God knows our abilities, and God knows our inabilities, and he knows what he has to do to make us able to achieve what he desires for us to do. It is a known fact that we can do nothing without him, and we can do all things through and by him. Paul tells us that in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. And Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Second, Paul is giving thanks to God for counting him faithful to preach the gospel. The preaching of the word of God is the need of the world and the only hope for all mankind. It is the Lord that not only enables us to work for him, but to preach for him as well. This land needs faithful preaching, and the Lord is the only one that can make us faithful. In our modern day, we have too many that are on and off, up and down, in and out. They can, they will, or they will, or they just won't. Amen. And they're not faithful to the preaching of the Word of God. Some so-called preachers just hit a lick here and there every now and then, and then we'll go for weeks and sometimes even years, trying without even declaring the Word of God. And the Bible teaches us that we ought to preach the Word. After over 50 years of declaring the Word of God, I still preach from 3 to 12 times a week. If God did not open the hours and doors for me to preach, I would wonder what was wrong with me and lay at his feet and just lay there till I found out what was wrong. The highest calling in this world is to be called of God to declare and preach the blessed Word of God. Now, the third thing that Paul's given thanks for is for the Lord putting him into the ministry. Now, the ministry was not a choice of Paul. It was a calling of God. Many do not realize that the Lord must call men into the ministry. Many just think that the ministry is an occupation or a profession. They treat preaching and the ministry as an occupation and a way of making a living. God knows us all, and He knows where He needs us. He will give us the grace to stand and perform as we should when He puts us into His work. Now, the next I of Paul is the I obtain mercy, found in verse number 13. Now, this phrase is also found in verse 16 of this same chapter. The word obtain means Paul had acquired mercy from God. We'll not say much about mercy here either, because we gave a whole lesson on that word in a previous study titled Mercy. Mercy is that which God bestows on us after we repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for His divine mercy that will keep us out of the pits of hell. The next I of Paul is found in the same verse 13. Paul said, I did, and that we'll see that one now. And he said, I did it ignorantly in unbelief. In verse 13, which is a continuation of verse 12, in which we will look at in a future study, Paul is telling what he obtained mercy from. Paul tells us he was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious, and he obtained mercy from all these things. We'll study these things when we get to verse 13. Paul also tells us that he did these things ignorantly. In other words, he was not aware that he was doing wrong. As most unbelievers, Paul did not see anything wrong with his past lifestyle before he was saved by the grace of God. The next I Paul gives us is found in verse 15, and it is the I am chief. Paul does not give himself high marks of what he was before he got saved. He was a sinner, and he goes on to describe himself as a chief of sinners. Paul was never proud of what he did before he got saved, and neither should we be proud. I have heard many give a testimony of their past sins as if they were bragging or even proud of them and what they had done and had the habits of. It's a shame of what we did before we were born again, and nothing to brag about either. Paul had the thought that of all sinners and sin, he was the worst of all sinners. We likewise should have that same attitude. Many in our day think they were good sinners and were not bad at all. This is not fit the will of God. Pride and arrogance does not have a place in the work of God. We were all sinners and terrible sinners. The next I of Paul in this first chapter is found in verse 18. It is the I commit. And it is part of the work in the church that he is committing to Timothy. Paul is training the young Timothy to be a great soldier of the cross and to be a faithful minister. He was teaching Timothy to stand strong and declare the word of God, and also to take a strong, faithful stand for the glory of God in all that he does and did. Now, the last I of Paul is found in verse number 20 and has to do with Paul dealing with blasphemers and turning them over to Satan so that they would learn not to blaspheme. It's a fact that Paul did not put up with any foolishness. To the Corinthian believers, Paul wrote a letter and challenged the church to do something about fornication going on in the congregation. He told them to turn such an one over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh. Now, in this verse 20 of the first chapter of 1 Timothy, he's dealing with a couple who were blasphemers. We'll deal with this in more detail when we get to the last verse of this chapter. Paul took a stand against sin like all preachers should take, and they don't today mainly, and not allow these things to go on in the house of God. In our modern day, it's a disgrace of what is going on in our churches. Sin is openly practiced, and there is no discipline for it at all. We are so weak-kneed, we will not stand up against sin because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings or make any waves. We just seem to turn our head and hope that it'll go away, but it won't. Many just do not want to deal with it. It's a shame of what is going on in our congregations in this modern time. Physical fleshly wounds need attention to keep down infection. And if we do not handle the spiritual problems in the church, it will infect the whole church and stop the work dead in its tracks. I trust that this study, number 120, has helped to inform you and blessed you and touched you in your spiritual life. My prayer is for you today that God will bless you. Amen and amen.